Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Faith Lapidus in Washington. Today, we talk about two new smartphone applications, or apps as we call them. They are helping people stay healthy by sharing information more quickly. Many people use iPhone apps for recreation. The most popular apps connect us to social media websites like Facebook and Twitter. Others let us play games, and others find songs we love or share pictures. Today, we will hear about two apps that are helping people stay healthy. One helps people with Alzheimer's, a disease that affects the memory. But first, let us hear about an app that may just save a life. If not yours, then perhaps the life of a loved one. Here is technology reporter June Sims.
Researchers have developed an experimental iPhone application or app that can improve the chances of survival for heart attack victims. The iPhone app is specially designed to identify patients suffering from a heart attack known as STEMI, or ST elevation myocardial infarction. In STEMI, blood flow to the heart is stopped because of a blockage in a coronary artery. Unlike other kinds of heart attacks, STEMIs show up very clearly on an electrocardiogram or ECG. Doctors use such tests to measure electrical activity in the heart. The experimental iPhone app should be a great help to healthcare technicians reacting to a possible medical emergency. They can perform an ECG and then take a picture of the test results with the camera on the telephone. They can then send that information ahead to hospital emergency room doctors. The iPhone app is the work of David Burt and his students at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. He says the app can help save lives by preparing doctors for the arrival of the STEMI patient.
So a decision made as early as possible in the STEMI treatment process allows the system to ramp up or mobilize so that when the patient shows up, they're, you know, pushed into the cath lab, everything happens, and their artery gets opened.
David Burt and his team tested the app 1,500 times over three American cellular phone networks in a populated area.
If your iPhone at the time that you hit send shows two or more bars, the app is successful in sending an image 94%+ of the time in less than 10 seconds.
The developers are now testing the iPhone app in rural areas where cell phone reception is more problematic than in cities. I'm June Sims.
You are listening to As It Is from VOA Learning English. I'm Faith Lapidus in Washington. Alzheimer's disease destroys the memory. When a person develops Alzheimer's, their family and friends are directly affected. It especially affects those people responsible for caring for them. People with Alzheimer's have difficulty remembering doctor's appointments and when to take medicine. A new app is designed to make caring for Alzheimer's patients easier. June Sims has more.
Alzheimer's disease is mostly a condition of old age. Since life expectancy is getting longer around the world, the number of people affected by the brain disease is expected to triple in some countries by the middle of the century. People with Alzheimer's often have other medical needs that require the services of numerous healthcare professionals. Caregivers often have a hard time keeping up with all the medical information. More and more, family members are being called on to help care for loved ones with Alzheimer's. It is a responsibility for which most people are unprepared. This is why the Hebrew Home, a private healthcare group in Riverdale, New York, developed an iPhone and iPad application called Balance. The app offers caregivers advice on recognizing symptoms and on feeding, bathing, and providing a healthy environment for the patient. It can be bought on the internet for $4. David Pomerantz is Hebrew Home's program development director, and he created Balance.
It's not easy, and we hope this will make it a little easier for people.
The Hebrew Home is a not-for-profit organization that provides care to 75,000 patients throughout New York City.
We're dealing with their family members because, as a philosophy, we feel that we need to care for the caregiver equally in our care needs to the client themselves, since if a caregiver doesn't have the proper supports, they simply can't be a caregiver.
Mr. Pomerantz says the Balance software is designed to let users organize medical and other information so they can easily keep track of the person's health. It helps caregivers manage doctor's appointments and share information with doctors about the patient's daily emotional changes. Interest in the app is not limited to the United States.
It's been interesting to see that we've had apps purchased, you know, from Egypt to the Netherlands to Greece. It's like the United Nations every day to see where people are buying this.
David Pomerantz says software developers are working on a version of Balance for mobile devices using the Android operating system. I'm June Sims.
Thanks, June. And that is our program for this Saturday. I'm Faith Lapidus. For more programs to help you learn English, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. You can also find us on your favorite social media sites, Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and LinkedIn. Join us tomorrow for another As It Is on the Voice of America.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is In the News. The search for a Malaysia Airlines passenger jet expanded this week. The airplane, a Boeing 777, disappeared last Saturday on a flight from Kuala Lumpur to Beijing. It was carrying 239 people. At first, the search was along its expected flight path. But by week's end, crews had expanded the search across parts of southern Asia for any evidence of Malaysia Airlines Flight 370. With satellites and other technology available, how can a plane as large as the 777 just disappear? Air safety expert John McGraw says it is easier than you may think.
People are under the impression that every airplane, even when it's flying across the ocean, is observed on some kind of radar scope with a human being looking at that scope. And it's just not the case. Radars don't reach that far.
But John McGraw says there are also a lot of devices inside the 777 that can help searchers follow its movement. Systems in the aircraft send altitude, weather conditions, position, and speed to air traffic controllers. There are also at least three ways the pilots can communicate with controllers. Another tool is the flight data recorder, or black box. If the plane is downed in the ocean, the black box sends out a signal that can travel up to 3 kilometers away. Many people remember when a French passenger jet disappeared 5 years ago. Air France Flight 447 went missing as it flew from Brazil to Paris. Its wreckage was eventually found in the Atlantic Ocean. Air safety expert John McGraw remembers the National Transportation Safety Board taking action after the French jet went missing. He says U.S. officials called for continuous download of an aircraft's flight data recorder information in case of emergencies.
And in the past, they haven't been able to justify installing that kind of equipment because it's very expensive, and because there hadn't been many accidents where it would have come into play. This will certainly provide some additional motivation, and there may be calls to do that.
Malaysia Airlines Flight 370 was last seen on radar above Vietnam and Malaysia. Air traffic controllers in both countries say they did not receive any message that the plane may have been in trouble. On Tuesday, Malaysian media reported that the Malaysian military had noted the aircraft flying toward the country's west coast. That is far from where controllers lost contact with the plane. The next day, China released satellite images showing three large objects floating in waters between Malaysia and Vietnam. But China later said it could not confirm the objects belonged to the missing aircraft. The Wall Street Journal reported that the plane could have stayed in the air for several hours past the time of its last confirmed location. The newspaper later said that the plane continued to send information about its engines and performance to satellites for 5 more hours. That suggests Flight 370 could have remained in the air or was on the ground somewhere. Why the signals stopped is unclear. This is a developing story. For the latest news on the Malaysian airliner, go to voanews.com. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Enberg.
Now, the special English program, American Stories. Today, we tell a traditional American story called A Tall Tale. A Tall Tale is a story about a person who is larger than life. The descriptions in the story are exaggerated, much greater than in real life. This makes the story funny. Long ago, the people who settled in undeveloped areas in America first told tall tales. After a hard day's work, people gathered to tell each other funny stories. Each group of workers had its own tall tale hero. Paul Bunyan was a hero of North America's lumberjacks, the workers who cut down trees. He was known for his strength, speed, and skill. Tradition says he cleared forests from the northeastern United States to the Pacific Ocean. Some people say Paul Bunyan was the creation of storytellers from the middle western Great Lakes area of the United States. Other people say the stories about him came from French Canada. Early in the 20th century, a writer prepared a collection of Paul Bunyan's stories. They were included in a publication from the Red River Lumber Company in Minnesota. It is not known if the stories helped the company's sales, but they became extremely popular. Here is Shep O'Neill with our story about Paul Bunyan.
Many years ago, Paul Bunyan was born in the northeastern American state of Maine. His mother and father were shocked when they first saw the boy. Paul was so large at birth that five large birds had to carry him to his parents. When the boy was only a few weeks old, he weighed more than 45 kilograms. As a child, Paul was always hungry. His parents needed 10 cows to supply milk for his meals. Before long, he ate 50 eggs and 10 containers of potatoes every day. Young Paul grew so big that his parents did not know what to do with him. Once, Paul rolled over so much in his sleep that he caused an earthquake. This angered people in the town where his parents lived, so the government told his mother and father they would have to move him somewhere else. Paul's father built a wooden cradle, a traditional bed for a baby. His parents put the cradle in waters along the coast of Maine. However, every time Paul rolled over, huge waves covered all the coastal towns. So his parents brought their son back on land. They took him into the woods. This is where he grew up. As a boy, Paul helped his father cut down trees. Paul had the strength of many men. He also was extremely fast. He could turn off a light and then jump into his bed before the room got dark. Maine is very cold for much of the year. One day, it started to snow. The snow covered Paul's home and a nearby forest. However, this snow was very unusual. It was blue. The blue snow kept falling until the forest was covered. Paul put on his snowshoes and went out to see the unusual sight. As he walked, Paul discovered an animal stuck in the snow. It was a baby ox. Paul decided to take the ox home with him. He put the animal near the fireplace. After the ox got warmer, his hair remained blue. Paul decided to keep the blue ox and named him Babe. Babe grew very quickly. One night, Paul left him in a small building with the other animals. The next morning, the barn was gone, and so was Babe. Paul searched everywhere for the animal. He found Babe calmly eating grass in a valley, with the barn still on top of his back. Babe followed Paul and grew larger every day. Every time Paul looked, Babe seemed to grow taller. In those days, much of North America was filled with thick green forests. Paul Bunyan could clear large wooded areas with a single stroke of his large, sharp axe. Paul taught Babe to help with his work. Babe was very useful. For example, Paul had trouble removing trees along a road that was not straight. He decided to tie one end of the road to what remained of a tree in the ground. Paul tied the other end to Babe. Babe dug his feet in the ground and pulled with all his strength until the road became straight. In time, Paul and Babe the Blue Ox left Maine and moved west to look for work in other forests. Along the way, Paul dug out the Great Lakes to provide drinking water for Babe. They settled in a camp near the Onion River in the state of Minnesota. Paul's camp was the largest in the country. The camp was so large that a man had to have 1 week's supply of food when walking from one side of the camp to the other. Paul decided to get other lumberjacks to help with the work. His work crew became known as the Seven Axe Men. Each man was more than 2 meters tall and weighed more than 160 kilograms. All of the axe men were named Elmer. That way, they all came running whenever Paul called them. The man who cooked for the group was named Sourdough Sam. He made everything, except coffee, from sourdough, a substance used in making sourdough bread. Every Sunday, Paul and his crew ate hotcakes. Each hotcake was so large that it took 5 men to eat one. Paul usually had 10 or more hotcakes, depending on how hungry he was. The table where the men ate was so long that a server usually drove to one end of the table and stayed the night. The server drove back in the morning with a fresh load of food. Paul needed someone to help with the camp's finances. He gave the job to a man named Johnny Inkslinger. Johnny kept records of everything, including wages and the cost of feeding Babe. He sometimes used 9 containers of writing fluid a day to keep such detailed records. The camp also was home to Sport, the reversible dog. One of the workers accidentally cut Sport in two. The man hurried to put the dog back together, but made a mistake. He bent the animal's back the wrong way. However, that was not a problem for Sport. he learned to run on his front legs until he was tired. Then he turned the other way and ran on his back legs. Big mosquitoes were a problem at the camp. The men attacked the insects with their axes and long sticks. Before long, the men put barriers around their living space. Then Paul ordered them to get big bees to destroy the mosquitoes. But the bees married the mosquitoes, and the problem got worse. They began to produce young insects. One day, the insects' love of sweets caused them to attack a ship that was bringing sugar to the camp. At last, the mosquitoes and bees were defeated. They ate so much sugar, they could not move. Paul always gave Babe the Blue Ox a 35-kilogram piece of sugar when he was good, but sometimes Babe liked to play tricks. At night, Babe would make noises and hit the ground with his feet. The men at the camp would run out of the buildings where they slept, thinking it was an earthquake. When winter came, Babe had trouble finding enough food to eat. Snow covered everything. Ole, the blacksmith, solved the problem. He made huge green sunglasses for Babe. When Babe wore the sunglasses, he thought the snow was grass. Before long, Babe was strong and healthy again. One year, Paul's camp was especially cold. It was so cold that the men let their facial hair grow very long. When the men spoke, their words froze in the air. Everything they said remained frozen all winter long and did not melt until spring. Paul Bunyan and Babe left their mark on many areas. Some people say they were responsible for creating Puget Sound in the western state of Washington. Others say Paul Bunyan and Babe cleared the trees from the states of North Dakota and South Dakota. They prepared this area for farming. Babe the Blue Ox died in South Dakota. One story says he ate too many hotcakes. Paul buried his old friend there. Today, the burial place is known as the Black Hills. Whatever happened to Paul Bunyan? There are lots of stories. Some people say he was last seen in Alaska, or even the Arctic Circle. Another tradition says he still returns to Minnesota every summer. It says Paul moves in and out of the woods, so few people ever know that he is there.
You have just heard the story of Paul Bunyan. It was adapted for Special English by George Groh. Your narrator was Shep O'Neill. Join us again next week for another American story in Special English on the Voice of America. This is Faith Lapidus.